And we're back. This is Jim Santel. This is Morning Cannolis. We're talking this morning, as we always do, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11, about law, government, and justice in America. Right before the break, I was reviewing with you some of the major and perhaps underreported stories of this past week, as we always do, chatting about Guy Raffet right before the break and the conviction and sentence imposed upon him, a man who brought a gun to the Capitol on January 6th, going to be spending time in federal prison as a result of that, plainly expressing some regret to the federal district court judge before whom he appeared. Nonetheless, a lesson, a deterrence, not only for Mr. Raffet to ensure that he doesn't do this anymore, but also a message I would offer to deterrence generally, that people who engage in this kind of conduct, you will in fact be investigated by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, prosecuted by the United States Department of Justice. And we know that there are about 800 other people who fall into that same category. And we also know, reaffirmed this past week, that with respect to other people who were in charge of organizing things on January 6th, people like the Three Percenters, of which Mr. Raffet was probably a member, Proud Boys, others out there, they're also being charged with seditious conspiracy to overthrow the government. And we know once again with absolute clarity that the U.S. Department of Justice is also has convened a grand jury that's looking at the top levels of direction, supervision, from the White House, other places. Undeniably, we know that now because people are getting subpoenas to appear before a federal grand jury in Washington, D.C. Looking at this, statements made by the Deputy Attorney General about the focus of this false electors matter that came out of Wisconsin and other states. Other people, obviously, the results of investigation, being contacted by the Federal Department of Justice and the FBI to talk about this, requests for transcripts from the January 6th committee. Undeniably, the United States Department of Justice, in addition to prosecuting those people like Mr. Raffet, who were on the ground on January 6th, not only moving up the chain, but now at the top of that chain. And we will look forward to hearing more from Merrick Garland, our Attorney General, and others about the results of those grand jury presentations in the weeks and perhaps months ahead. Three other stories before we get on to our principal topic this morning, which is once again the 10-year anniversary of the Sikh Gurdwara shooting in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Three other stories that also are significant in the category of justice and law enforcement in America. This one, also a matter of charges. This one coming out of the federal district court in the U.S. Attorney's Office, the U.S. Department of Justice in Louisville, Kentucky. Listeners will remember well that in a nighttime raid in March of 2020, more than 2 years ago, officers entered into the home of Breonna Taylor and her boyfriend that night. An officer engaged initially, the boyfriend responded, and the melee that followed in Ms. Taylor, this 26-year-old emergency room technician, being killed in the violence that happened as a result of what can only be regarded as a terribly mishandled and misconducted search and entry into that home. Well, it turns out, as many of us suspected, even from the public reporting on this at the time, that this was more than simply a mismanaged matter involving law enforcement on the execution of the warrant. This is much more than that. And this past week, the Attorney General announced charges on officers who were responsible for obtaining that search warrant in the first place. So let's step back and do a little bit of civics on this as well. In order to get a warrant under the Fourth Amendment, or right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, and that is construed to mean that before any federal officer, a state officer, can get entry into your home without your consent, a federal magistrate, a state court judge, someone in a judicial capacity has to take a look at the evidence presented and find that there is probable cause to believe that inside that home, somewhere on those premises, there is evidence of a crime. So this is not a matter where simply agents can go in because they've got some belief that there is evidence of a crime. A federal judge has got to take a look at it. A state judge, a state magistrate's got to review that information and specifically authorize that to happen. The charges that came out of this particular case this week announced, and again, we hasten to add that, as always, defendants in our state and federal systems are presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt by a jury or otherwise consent to enter a plea in this case. The charges say that two detectives and a police sergeant falsely claimed in the supporting affidavit before that judge to obtain that warrant that the former boyfriend, the colleague, the friend of Breonna Taylor, again, terribly killed in this incident, had been receiving packages at the apartment when, in fact, according to the indictment against these law enforcement officers, they had no such evidence, that there really wasn't evidence, and that they misrepresented this case to the judge who authorized that raid, premised apparently in large part upon that false information. One of the agents knew the claim was false, didn't object to it, and added what they described as misleading claims that the former boyfriend was using the address as Ms. Taylor's apartment to get these packages. And so fundamental misrepresentations about the predicate to get into the house in the first place. Third officer also charged with an investigative unit, lack of supervision there, approving that affidavit, knowing that it contained this false information. And so a very, very significant indictment this past week. It does not bring Breonna Taylor back to life, as we know well. Her death remains a tragedy in this nation, but it underscores as well the importance of law enforcement to do its job, not just competently. We know beyond that that the very execution of this improperly issued, improperly predicated warrant was done in a terribly, terribly violent and an inappropriate manner. Nonetheless, we have charges this past week that because of this, Ms. Taylor and others were deprived of their rights under the Constitution of the United States of America to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. In this case, it led to Ms. Taylor's death. Very significant item in the history of our nation this past week. And then we also know as we go into break that coming out of another violent event, that is the violence at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. 19 first graders, 6 educators shot there. This past week, some important information coming from a civil jury in Texas this past week involving misstatements, lies, misrepresentations. Call them all of that, you'd be accurate in doing so, by Alex Jones, who said, among other things, that that violent activity, those deaths never happened. None of this is made up. As a result of what the jury did there, Mr. Jones, as we'll talk about beyond the break, facing not only compensatory damages, but also now punitive damages. We're going to chat more about what that means. We're going to talk about the implications of that for Mr. Jones and the things he's got to face down the road yet as we continue to have our discussion this morning and go into our next break here on Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. We invite you, as always, to call in at 844-967-2789.